Will you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So our text this morning comes from the book of Philemon. About a month ago, I was telling a friend of mine that I was going to be preaching from this book, and I said, well, I'm preaching from Philemon. And he said, from where? And I said, Philemon. And he looked at me kind of funny, and he said, you mean Philemon? I said, Philemon? It's not Philemon, it's Philemon. And we had quite a debate over this. Well, the Greek isn't quite sure, because the letter I can be pronounced either as a long I or a short I. So I've said Philemon all my life, so that's what I'm going to say this morning. And if we disagree, I'd like to chat with you after. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Anyway, I'm preaching. Our text this morning is Philemon. It's only one chapter long, and I'm going to be reading the whole chapter for us. But before I open God's word, let me share these words with you. In the movie The Color Purple, the character Sophia, played by Oprah Winfrey, spends several years incarcerated for a very minor offense. She was offended by a white person, and she struck that white person. Well, when she's released from prison, she's a broken woman who can no longer function. And her mistress casually hands her a shopping list to fill. Well, the lead character, Celie, played by Whoopi Goldberg, is a woman who has also endured a lot of great pain. And she sees Sophia standing at the grocery store looking at the shelves with the list in her hand, and she understands her vulnerability, and she protects Sophia by quietly filling the grocery order for her. Well, months later, when Sophia begins to awaken from her deep trouble, she says, I wants to thank you, Miss Celie, for everything you done for me. I remember that day in the store. I was feeling really down. I was feeling mighty bad. But when I sees you, I knows there is a God. I knows there is a God. And one day, I knew I was going to get to go home. Well, this morning, I'm going to take us through the book of Philemon, and you'll see how similar it is to this quote from The Color Purple. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, in Christ, although I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I, then, as Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason why he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of God endures forever. Amen. So let me take us through some of the story of Philemon. So Philemon was an elder in the church in Colossae, from which we get the book of Colossians. The church met in his home. And Philemon's wife, Apphia, and another man named Archippus are also mentioned in the book of Philemon. And Philemon owned a slave, and the slave's name was Onesimus. Now, to give you some context, let me read to us from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 7 through 9 and then skip down to verse 17. Colossians 4, starting in verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Then down to verse 17. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. So Philemon isn't mentioned in the book of Colossians, but Onesimus is, and so is Archippus. This Archippus likely had a ministry role in the church in Colossae. He was perhaps even the pastor of the church. So here we have Onesimus. He's a runaway slave of Philemon, verse 18 tells us. And verse 18 tells us that he's likely stolen from his master to fund his getaway. And Onesimus has fled and finds himself 1,000 kilometers away in Rome. But while he was there, something miraculous happened that Onesimus had not anticipated. He encounters the Apostle Paul, and he is converted gloriously to faith. Now, did Paul already know Onesimus from his previous visit to the church in Colossae? Was Onesimus there when Paul was there? We don't know. But we do know that Onesimus meets up with Paul in Rome. And Paul mentors Onesimus. And as much as Paul wants to keep him there, nevertheless, he thinks it's right to send Onesimus back to his master, Philemon. And he tells him it's time to go home, just like the quote from The Color Purple. And the book of Philemon is a letter to secure welcome for this runaway slave. Now, you need to know, by all rights, Philemon would be within his rights to have Onesimus executed upon his return, stealing from his master and running away. Those were capital offenses. Well, to borrow an action from my mother that she used to use, if I didn't do exactly as she was told and I'd be in trouble. Yes, some of you know that, do you? Okay. Well, I've set the stage. Now you see some of the backdrop of what's going on in the book of Philemon. So let's dig in there as well. Paul starts his letter with a salutation familiar to many people who's read, who had known the work of Paul. Verses 4 through 7 read to us, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. You know, almost like a Hollywood movie, and I know what's coming later on in the book of Philemon, part of me starts to wonder, not justifiably maybe, but part of me starts to wonder that Paul is trying to butter Philemon up here, saying how much he loves him and praises the work he does with the church in Colossae, because then we get to verse 8. Therefore, in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. And then skipping down to verse 10, I appeal to you on behalf of my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. And I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. Now, Paul said that he could order Philemon to take Onesimus back. But he's asking it as a favor to Philemon because of the love that they share. Paul tells Philemon that previously Onesimus was useless to them, but now he can be useful just as he has been to Paul. And just so you know, in Greek, the name Onesimus actually does mean useful. So in verse 13, Paul says, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in sharing the gospel. But Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon. He says to Philemon, it's time to go home. In verses 15 and 16, I'll remind us of those words. Perhaps the reason why he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but dearer to you, both as a man and a brother in the Lord. So Onesimus is being sent back to Philemon, and Paul asks his friend to accept him back, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ, to continue the work in that church in Colossae. He's mentored this man. Paul has mentored this man, Onesimus. And Paul knows that Onesimus can now be useful to Philemon. There are two themes in the book of Philemon. And the first is reconciliation. Now, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines the verb reconcile as to restore to friendship and harmony. Brothers and sisters, hear me when I say, if Onesimus were to go back to Philemon merely as a slave, that would not be reconciliation. Paul takes reconciliation seriously. If time allowed, which it doesn't, I would bring you to passages in Corinthians and Romans where Paul talks about Christians being reconciled one to another and us being reconciled to God. You know, brothers and sisters, when I think of reconciliation, one story in Scripture comes to mind more than any other, that of the prodigal son. There he was, far from home, foreign country, a Jewish boy feeding pigs. A Jewish boy feeding pigs. How low could someone possibly go? And then he realized that all of his father's servants had food to spare, and yet here he was in this faraway country starving. And so he says to us himself, it's time to go home. There's that again. And so he did. And he picks himself up and off he goes. But Luke's gospel tells us that while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son no longer saw himself worthy to be a son. He was willing to be a slave, just as so long as he could go back home. But he was reconciled. He was restored to his place as a son. Do you see the theme, my friends? Onesimus was a slave to Philemon. He ran away from home to a faraway country. He comes to faith, and Paul tells him, it's time to go home. The gospel had completely changed Onesimus' life, as no doubt it had changed Philemon's life, and Paul's too, for that matter, on that road to Damascus. As it changes all of our lives, the gospel always does. And that's why Paul is confident that Philemon will indeed welcome Onesimus home. Brothers and sisters, no matter how far we may wander, no matter where we are in our faith, how long it has been, no matter what we've done, no matter how perverse our sin, our loving God and Father calls us, each and every one, and says, "My son, my daughter, when are you coming home?" I know what that's like. Been there, done that. I spent years far from God. But he kept lovingly calling me, "Joseph, when are you coming home?" But let me move on to the second theme in the book of Philemon. The first is reconciliation. The second is forgiveness, or what I'm going to call the debt that cannot be repaid. Look with me at verses 17 through 19. "If you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he's done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self." Paul asks Philemon to welcome Onesimus as if he were Paul. Paul has embedded his own apostolic status onto Onesimus, despite the fact that he was nothing but a slave. And Paul is asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus and welcome him home, regardless of what he's done. No matter what the sin is that Onesimus has committed against Philemon, Paul is asking us, and he's asking him rather, to forgive. I want to tell you about a woman whom I love dearly. I grew up in a traditional Presbyterian church in the Niagara region. My father still attends this church. Well, when I was in my early teens, there was a family who attended that church named Champagne. Their family befriended mine, and the mother, Bonnie Champagne, became a friend to me. Well, that family didn't stay very long at the Presbyterian church. They ended up at the local Pentecostal church. Well, in April of 1984, this Pentecostal church put on a drama called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. Now, the drama shows various different short scenes where a Christian and a non-Christian are having a conversation with each other, and in some cases, the non-believer is converted to faith. Not always, but sometimes. Then, suddenly, there's an accident or some other sort of catastrophic event that takes place and the participants are killed. And they wake up and they're in front of a group of angels at the gates of heaven. And they present their names, and one of the angels at the very top of the podium begins looking in the book of life to try to find that person's name. And if it's there, all of the angels raise their hands like this, the gates of heaven open, and the soul walks into heaven. But if the name is not there, all of the angels cover their faces with their wings, the whole stage is bathed with a dark red glow, there's ominous music, demons show up and drag the kicking unbelieving soul screaming into hell. Well, it's very much a scare tactic drama, but nevertheless, the gospel is clearly presented in this drama. And at the end, there's an altar call, and many people, myself included, went forward to accept Christ. And people came forward to pray for us individually. Well, Bonnie Champagne was playing one of the angels in that drama. Well, she made one beeline for me, grabbed me by the hand and said, "You come with me, Joey Bowman. I've been praying for you for 2 years." Warning, do not call me Joey. The only people that still have the right to call me that are the 90-year-old ladies back at that Presbyterian church in the Niagara region. They still have that right. Well, I tell you this story, brothers and sisters, because when it comes right down to it, just like verse 19 in the book of Philemon says, I owe this woman my very self. You see, brothers and sisters, each one of us here in this room as believers owe our very lives, our very selves, to someone, some earthly person who led us to faith in Christ. Perhaps it was Christian parents, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a friend, someone who loved us and prayed for us and who led us into a personal relationship with Christ. Now, if any of you here did not grow up in a Christian home, you'll especially know what I'm talking about. We owe them a debt, one that cannot be repaid. And so Paul asks Philemon to welcome Onesimus home, not as a slave, but as a full brother in Christ, so that Onesimus can continue the work of the church in Colossae. A slave couldn't do that, but a fellow brother, a fellow worker could. There needed to be reconciliation. There needed to be forgiveness. To the Apostle Paul, Onesimus was his spiritual son. He loves this man, but he's sending Onesimus back to Philemon. Look with me again at verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, I appeal to you on the basis of love. And then we get to verse 17 again. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. Verse 8 says, although I could order you to do this, Paul's making it a request in love. And then we get those interesting words at the very end of verse 19. Paul says, not to mention that you owe me your very self. Part of me started thinking that this sounds like an ultimatum. Now here's Paul sending Onesimus back to Philemon, who he calls his very soul, his very heart, and says, I could order you to do this. But because who I am is Christ's disciple, and because I know you love me and I love you, I know you'll do this. And Paul appears to leave it at that. And he goes through the entire rest of the book of Philemon, and Paul doesn't say anything more, and then we get to the end of verse 19, and Paul says, oh, by the way, you owe me your very self. It's like it's an afterthought. This is not an ultimatum. Paul is not playing the heavy hand here, because verse 21 says, confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Paul knows already the reputation of Philemon, and he believes that Philemon will forgive Onesimus and welcome him home. Now, brothers and sisters, keep in mind, Paul has written this letter to Philemon to welcome Onesimus home. And who's delivering it? Philemon himself. So again, we think we can put this behind us, and we're ready to wrap up, and the arm twisting is gone, and then we get to verse 22. Oh, and one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer of your prayers. Oh, great! So now Paul's going to come visit and make sure he's follow up on him to make sure he's followed through. No, friends. He loves Philemon. He loves Onesimus. And he's absolutely sure, the Apostle Paul, is that there's going to be restoration. There's going to be reconciliation. There's going to be forgiveness. He didn't need to go and see it for himself. You know, when I read those words, and one more thing. Oh, I heard those giggles already. When I hear the words, and one more thing, it reminds me of the former CEO of Apple, Steve Jobs. He'd be giving a keynote address about all the things going on at Apple, and he'd be done his address, he'd be done his speech, and he steps out of his platform, and then all of a sudden he stops and says, and the words appear up on the screen, oh, and one more thing. And then we'd all get a tease of some new product that's coming through to Apple. And there again would be great applause. Well, after the first few times that Steve Jobs did it, it could be almost expected. And in fact, there'd be disappointment if he didn't say, oh, and one more thing. So here's the Apostle Paul saying, and one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me. It's Paul's desire to go back to the church in Colossae. He wants to see this reconciliation, this forgiveness for himself. And there's no doubt about it that in Paul's mind that he would see it if he could. Again, verse 21 tells us that Paul is confident that Philemon would do even more than he asked. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I will say to you all again, all of us in this room who have trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior owe a debt, one that cannot be retained. There's a chorus that I've known for some years. We sing it sometimes in Brampton at Cross Point. You probably sing it here too. It's, "Lord, I lift your name on high." And the chorus goes like this: "He came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high." Even as Jesus hung on that cross, bearing the shame, carrying the forgiveness of the whole world to the point where God the Father could not even look at him any longer, Jesus said, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." And brothers and sisters, we are all a forgiven people here today. We are broken, and we are still in sinners, but we have been forgiven. We have been reconciled, washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are in Christ Jesus, alive in the Holy Spirit. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if we have been loved, if we have been forgiven while we were still yet in our sin, we too must forgive one another, just as no doubt Onesimus received forgiveness from Philemon. The Color Purple is a sad movie. There is rejection, there is betrayal, there is hatred, there is infidelity, there is rape and incest. It's a dark, dark, sad movie. But by the end of the film, the characters have undergone remarkable changes, and relationships have begun to heal. There is a grand reunion of all the characters, and at the end of the movie, there is indeed reconciliation and forgiveness. And that's the story of Philemon and Onesimus. And it's our story as well. God has taken his great big rubber stamp, put it on the stain of the sins in our lives, and he says, "Paid in full." Our debt has been paid in full, and paid for by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let us therefore live our lives in this grand truth. It's time to come home. We have been reconciled. We have been forgiven. We are no longer slaves. We are sons and daughters, joint heirs with Christ. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we are reconciled to you through your precious blood. Father God, you sent your Son so that we are no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters. Lord Jesus, you call us your friends. We are no longer servants, we are your friends. Father God, we do not love you with our whole hearts, as we've already prayed this morning. Things we've said, things we've done, things we have left unsaid, things we have left undone. But Father, we praise you, and we bow to our knees, knowing that you have reconciled us, you have forgiven us. And you have said to my son, my daughter, it's time to come home. Lord Jesus, may this truth be ours this morning. Would you dwell richly, richly, richly in all of our hearts. And it's in your precious name, Lord Jesus, that we pray these things. Amen.